And it's always difficult when you approach Father's Day to look at things differently. I mean, Dad's here every day, isn't he? You have Dad in the morning, you have Dad at night, Dad's around in the weekends, Dad's supposed to have all of these things that he's supposed to accomplish. And sometimes it's easy. But I want you to understand, being a dad, it's not. One of the challenges that I want us to look at this morning, we're going to look a little bit about Noah. How many dads want to be like Noah? I mean, you really want to be like Noah. You want to have everybody in the world against you. You want to have your children as the only ones who are listening to you. That sounds good. But you're going to take a position with God and build something nobody's ever seen before on dry land. You're going to fill it up with animals that people are going to think you are crazy. How many dads want to be like that? Most of us would say, I think I'll pass this time, God. Give me another thing to do. But Noah didn't. And Noah had a reason that God chose him. And I want us to understand that as we look at Noah, there's more to being a godly man than there is to being an ungodly man. The difference is a relationship with Jesus Christ and a desire in your heart to be who God wants you to be. Now, you may not be a father. You may not be a dad right now. But understand, y'all had one, didn't you? It works that way. If not, we'll have a Science 101 class that'll begin here in a while. We need to understand there are things that I am supposed to do. Do I do them all? I'm sorry, I don't. I have failed a number of times before God. But the desire of my heart as I continue to grow in Christ is to be more of the father and the grandfather that God has called me to be. In Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, we get an idea of what God had picked out, or why God had picked out Noah. Now, that's not a difficult one to read this. He was the man God wanted compared to everybody else that was in the world. So the first thing we would look at is, why am I different than the rest of the world if I'm a father? Well, are you these things? Beginning in verse 9, these are the family records of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God, and Noah fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness. God saw how corrupt the earth was for every creature that corrupted its way on the earth. Everything around Noah, except Noah and his family, was corrupted. What do you consider corruption? Look at the world around you today. What do you consider corruption? My goodness, I couldn't begin to name all of the things that are corrupt in the world in which we live today. But God was considered Noah to be righteous. Well, we could say that. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That makes us righteous in the world compared to everybody else. But God's righteousness also, understand, meant that Noah was just. He chose to do what God wanted him to do. How many men will choose to do what God wants you to do? You might have to wait a while. You might have to put your plans on hold. Heck, you might have to throw them away to be the man that God wants you to be. But he was also something else. He was perfect and blameless in the sight of his contemporaries. Wow. The people you work with consider you blameless? Do the people you work with consider you to be perfect? Not in this world. But stop and think of who Noah's contemporaries were. Were there any? Who were they? His children. That's it. You could not really consider anybody else as contemporaries because the rest of the world was corrupt. They were not as Noah was. Do my children consider me perfect? Oh, my goodness. I'm glad they're not here this morning. Do I consider my kids consider me to be blameless? No, not really. But one of the real challenges we have in the world around us today is to understand that in order to be like Noah, there are a lot of things that we have yet to do. But I chose a psalm to really share some things from, and that's Psalm number 1. And it's really kind of simple is the reason I chose it, simply because God said, use this one. And that's basically, I think, what we need to understand is in the decisions that we make every day, we choose the things that God wants us to do. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. What makes us who we are? Really, are we who God wants us to be in the decisions that we make every day? Do you choose the things of the world or do you choose the things of God? And the challenge, I think, is for us to choose the things of God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. This is considered really to be an orphan psalm. One of two. One and two. And it's an orphan psalm simply because nobody is considered to be the author by the psalm itself. But if you go into Acts chapter, I can't remember what it is. But if you go into Acts, it'll tell you chapter 2 is written by David. But this one is from the emotional perspective. Psalm chapter 2 is from the intellectual perspective. And as you look at this first psalm, one of the real challenges is to understand that it begins with blessings, ends with curses. Psalm 2 begins with curses and ends with blessings. But in this particular psalm, we look at some things that are, in King James verse, described as blessed. Blessed is the man. Well, I don't have the King James with me this morning, so we're going to use the other word that's sometimes used for it, is happy is the man. But it's not just a regular happy. Blessed is more translated as a happy, happy is the man. So that God's blessings have been poured out upon the man, and he is super happy. Does that make sense? Have you really ever felt God's blessings? How do they make you feel? Happy, happy, blessed. Beginning in verse 1, how happy is a man who does not follow the advice of the wicked? Gee, how happy is a man who doesn't listen to the ungodly man? How many of us listen to the ungodly man? Begin to think about that for a moment. What kind of influence do you accept in who you are for God? Are you looking for a pastoral approval? Are you looking for your deacons to say you're happy and you're blessed because you're a good guy? Who are you listening to? Are you a good man because your neighbors think you're pretty good? I do some things for my neighbors just out of my nature. That's who I am. We have two young women that are on our court that are single parents. Simple little things. They tell you I was a good man because what I do is on trash day, I take their trash bins back to their houses for them when I pick up mine. Does that make me a good man? No. No. This particular psalm says, happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked. What am I looking for? Where is my direction? What am I doing? Am I listening to what the world wants me to do? Did Noah listen to the world and what they thought he should be doing? Oh, Noah, give it a break. What are you building that thing for? There's no river. There's no lake. There's nothing in the neighborhood. Why are you doing this? And if Noah told him, and he did, because God told me to. You got to be kidding, Noah. I mean, that thing's bigger than a football field. Of course, they probably didn't know what a football field was. Bigger than a soccer field. No, they probably didn't know what a soccer field was. It's just too big to tote down the road and off to the nearest water spot. And I don't know for sure, the scripture tells you that Noah knew exactly why he was building that big ark in his backyard, except that he listened to God. If God tells you to do something that's out of the ordinary, that's different than everything else in the world around you, are you willing to do it? Or are you willing to question it? he began and said, "Happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners." How many of us hang around with sinful men? It doesn't mean you don't associate with them. It doesn't mean you don't pass them. It doesn't mean you don't work with them. How many of us make our friends people of the world? If you consider your friends outside of this building, how many do you have? Well, my dad, goodness. I grew up with so-and-so, and I grew up with such-and-such, and I grew up with all these people. But are they really who you need to be associating with? Excuse me. And the answer is no. Does that mean I throw them away? No. My goodness, look at the influence that you already have and an opportunity somewhere down the line maybe to lead them to Christ. But you should be associating, fellowshipping with, getting together with those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the real challenges sometimes is to be who God calls you to be. To mingle with those who God has called you to mingle with. And to join the group of mockers that he talks about at the end of verse 1, my goodness. How many of you have laughed with those who are mockers, who are scornful, who are sinners? What Scripture is leading us to in this very first verse is that we need to be separated from the world, and we don't do the things that the world does. We do the things that God calls us to do. Happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners or join a group of mockers. Verse 2, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. I want to know one thing that I had trouble with all during high school and part of college. I did not like to take instruction. Do you ever know any teenagers that are that way? Do you know any dads that are that way? What he's calling for dads to do is get around God's Word. How many of us as God's people have the ability to be captured fully by God's Word? I didn't do a lot of reading in high school. I was one of those students that you could go to class and take what the teacher gave me, and I still got B's in the class, so why should I read anything? Why should I do any extra credit? I'm passing. Isn't that all good enough? And my parents were pleased that I was passing, so no big deal. So I didn't have to do any extra reading. Summer came, summer reading programs. Who needs summer reading programs? Next year would come, got through high school that way, started college that way, and realized things were a little bit different. But then that point came that I put my faith and trust in Christ. And I began to read some things, thank you, that I have never read before. Think about it. Do you ever get engrossed in something and lose time? Well, that had never happened to me in a book, especially a book. But I would start to read, and I would be in studying God's Word, and man, what took place? But part of it was I never understood it before. The world doesn't grab a hold of what God's Word has to say because they don't understand it. But as God's child, one of the things that it did is it captured my attention. It took me in a point where I really wanted to get into learning more about what God wanted me to do. And the man of God is one who gets into and begins to learn more and gets captured by the full attention of what God's Word has to say. Because you'll find out what God's Word has to say will carry you through every aspect of your life. There's not a part of my life that I don't deal with today that I don't have an answer to from God's Word. If I don't have an answer to it, all I have to do is start reading again. How do you raise your children? I remember when we had our first child wishing there was a class. There wasn't. But God's Word began to give me instructions on what I needed to do. I remember when I got married. My goodness, what am I supposed to do now? Well, the world had its things that told me I could do. But God's Word had a totally different list that helped us to grow and become who God wanted us to be. I mean, I ask for this coming Friday off at work. And the kids go, what do you want off Friday? That's our day off. We go down dates. I said, because it's my anniversary. They said, how long have you been married? 44 years. They're, oh, you kidding? No. This Friday, Jane and I have been married 44 years. So what are they looking? Thank you. The response I get from the world is, well, I'd be lucky if I made it till 4. They go into marriage this way. Yet the world teaches us to treat each other in a way that honors God. And when we do, it's so much easier to handle the situations that come up every day. We had 4 kids. We still do. We have 4 kids. They're grown. All 4 of them are grown. All 4 of them have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've gone in different directions. They do different things. But my prayer is they will continue to teach their children the things that we taught them. I have a son that's a youth director, basically. They don't have one. He's just a volunteer in the church that he is on the Eastern Shore. They get excited about doing what God wants us to do when we spend time in the Word. But then you have that responsibility, Dad, to carry that into your family. How many families spend time in the Word? It's so much easier, and it was for a long time. I have my devotional. Jan has her devotional. And when we get a chance, we discuss a few things. It's so much more difficult for us to sit down together and have a devotional together. Even though I'm retired. I'm not really, I don't think. But, you know, that's what God calls us to do. Be captured and claimed our full attention into what God's Word has to say. And then he goes on in verse 3. Verse 3, he said, he is like a tree planted beside streams of water that beareth fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. What a picture. A tree planted by the waters, nourished, growing, becoming what a tree is supposed to be. It's situated by the waters. It's his prosperity. And basically, the things that it does is the tree displays the prominence of the position of the men of God. He also, being a tree planted, shows the permanence of the position of the man of God. That position is by Christ. My growth, your growth, our growth ought to be by Christ. Productivity brings forth fruit. What kind of fruit? Everybody gets excited when somebody starts to talk about fruit. You mean I have to go out and bring people to Christ? That's God's job. For us, we have to be the fruit of the Spirit that enables us to be able to share the Word to the people that are out there. That fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those things that God calls us to be. How many dads can be described as love? And then break that down. What really is joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness? All the things that we are supposed to be, God has laid out for us. That's our fruit. Just be who God calls you to be. Your propriety is you do it in God's time. Your perpetuity is that you are not affected by the world, and your prosperity is shown through a number of ways. How are you prosperous? You're prosperous in your family. You're prosperous in your business. You're prosperous in your personal life. You're prosperous in that you are who God calls you to be. That's the godly man. And then he takes 3 verses to describe the ungodly man. The ungodly man is driven. Verse 4. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff, and the wind blows away. They are driven, the chaff that's blowing away. One of the things that I've always noticed is that there are people out there in the world who have no relationship with Jesus Christ, and that some of their response is They don't even believe in anything. They don't even believe in Satan. But I want you to understand, even though a person may not believe in Satan, he can be led by Satan. And the world out there is one that we really have to wrestle with, because if we're not careful and be the godly man that God has chosen us to be, we get to that point where we allow Satan to lead us in the things of the world and the things that will destroy the family instead of build the family up. He also gives us that verse in verse 5 where he says, therefore the wicked will not survive the judgment, and sinners will not come to the community of the righteous. Sinners, the lost, the wicked, the ungodly, have no future. When it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, when it comes to that time where you have to make a decision, when it comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb and you have to say, did it, am I or am I not, you're not, if you're not God's child. It's that simple. There's no other direction. There's no way at the judgment seat of Christ that you can say, but I was good enough. I did the things that I was supposed to do. I did the things I wanted to do that helped other people. I fed some folks that needed some feeding, and I gave some money to some folks who needed some money, and I mowed a grass for a neighbor who was sick at one time, and I did all of those good things, and that's fine. They are all good things. But the only thing that gives us a relationship or an eternity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have the godly direction. If you don't, the verse says the wicked has what? No place in judgment. You do not have an answer for God. There's nothing you can exchange for that relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to be the relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's none coming from the Father but by me. He didn't say that because it was a good thing to say and he wanted to get the bigger crowd on his side. It's a truth. It's a reality. We need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, or we have no place in judgment. We will spend an eternity separated from God, an eternity in hell. Verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. Basically, there are two directions, two ways. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the way that God has provided, or you have the way that leads to destruction. So the choice is yours and the choice is mine, and it's a choice that dads have to make if you're going to lead your family to where God wants them to be, or it's a choice that every person has to make because it's an eternal destiny for the individual. It's more than just one person that has to make that choice. I made that choice long, long time ago when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Have I made any mistakes since? Yes, I have. Have I done things that are wrong since? Yes, I have. But God continues to forgive me in every situation. But I know some folks who have never made a decision for Christ. And their excuses, well, you could fill a room full of excuses. But all of those excuses lead every person who makes them to an eternity in hell. So the real challenge for dads, as well as the real challenge for every person, is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the biggest thing that I've learned in being a dad, in the number of years that I've been a dad, and the number of years I've been a granddad, is am I comfortable with the decisions that I make? I don't know if you are comfortable with the decisions you make. Some of us make decisions based on just how we were raised. I love being a part of this church because there's such a variety of people. I love being a part of the praise team because they are such a variety of people. I mean, there's us old folks like Carol and I that are old-time Southern gospel kind of folks. And there's those young folks like Tony. Who are young and contemporary and into more of today's music. But guess what? It all praises God. We do it for the glory of God. We do it because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ that touches our hearts to the point where we want to praise. And we come up here and we begin to lead in praise because that's what God's called us to do. And you sit out there and you have a blessed time singing sometimes. You ought to be up here and look at your faces sometimes. I mean, you love praising God, and that's a great thing. Sometimes you're not quite awake, but you love praising God. And one of the real challenges is to take that momentary praise and make it every day. And you do that by getting your position where you are right now right with God. The invitation hymn this morning is, "It Is Well With My Soul." Old time song. Today's meaning. Is it well with your soul? Can you stand up this morning and sing it as a part of your song? Or is there something that you need to have made right? Is there something you need to pray about? Because if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you ask God to forgive you, He will do that. And you may just need to come down and pray about it. You may say, "You've been doing an awful lot of talking up there, young man." I hope you're saying young. "You're doing an awful lot of talking up there, young man, but you know, you really need to tell me more about this Jesus. And I would love to." Zach's going to be up here as a part of the invitation as well, and he would love to. And if there's more people than Zach and I can talk to, I'm sure we can get a few other guys up here to talk to you and tell you about how much God loves you this morning. How much God wants you to be the godly person, not the godless person. How much God wants you to spend an eternity in heaven celebrating rather than an eternity separated in agony. What decision do you have to make this morning? Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for the love that you have given us, for the opportunities that you give us every day. Father, we thank